The state Republican Party is pressuring U.S. Senator Susan Collins to approve President Donald Trump's wall along the southern border. That request is at odds with the Republican senator's expressed desire to end the partial federal government shutdown first. The party yesterday sent a letter to Collins urging her, quote, in the strongest terms possible, to vote for wall funding. We've brought in chief political correspondent Steve Missler to explain what all this means. Steve, the story we just published on the web says that Collins' position on the shutdown's running up against the desires of the people who signed the letter. But before you get to that, can you explain what Collins' position actually is, like what she's saying should happen to resolve this impasse?
Yeah, Collins has basically taken the stance that Congress should pass a series of bills that would reopen the federal government and end the shutdown now before its effects get worse, which, of course, they are. They're getting worse every day. She says that border security is important, but that operations of the federal government shouldn't be used as leverage to get the president his border wall. Now, of course, Trump campaigned on the wall and repeatedly said Mexico would pay for it. Now, that may have been an unrealistic promise, but now he wants Congress to give him the money for the wall. Democrats are saying no way, and to some extent, Collins is agreeing with them. She said in a floor speech yesterday that the government should be reopened and that then negotiations over the wall and border security should come after that. Now, it's worth noting that Collins is one of four Senate Republicans that have taken that position, but they're not enough of a critical mass of votes to end the stalemate or to force Republican Senate leader Mitch McConnell to bring those funding bills up for a vote.
And so this letter by the main Republican Party is critical of Collins' position then?
I wouldn't call it overtly critical. I mean, it doesn't come out and explicitly say that Collins is wrong. But it's clear from the letter that they don't want her to give up the leverage the Trump administration has, which is the government shutdown. Now, and this was confirmed by a committee member who I interviewed today. Now, he didn't sign the letter, but he didn't object to those who did. He basically said it was designed to pressure Collins not to give in too early on this stalemate. But the letter isn't popular with everyone in the main GOP. And, you know, a source told me that several people refused to sign it because it really puts Collins in a tough spot. And at a time when she's gearing up for an anticipated reelection bid in 2020. And that's why people on the state committee that are either employed by her or close to her didn't sign the letter.
So does this signal like that there's a split in the main Republican Party? Is there like a Collins faction and a Trump faction?
It would sure seem that way. I mean, they just held a leadership election last weekend in which they reelected Chairwoman Demi Kazunas, and they also picked Waterville Mayor Nick Isgro as the vice chair. Now, Isgro is a controversial figure on his own. He narrowly survived a recall effort last year for a bunch of anti-immigrant social media posts, but he's also been sharply critical of Collins, making several references to her being part of the swamp or promoting stories from conservative hardliners that basically call her a swamp monster. So it's not hard to consider this letter in that context. It was drafted right after the party leadership elections, and it's clear from the signatories and those who declined to sign it that it targets Collins in particular.
And this does not seem like a good time for Collins to be having these kinds of troubles with the Republican Party.
No, it doesn't. I mean, she's already ticked off the left for voting for the GOP tax overhaul in 2017, and then last year for voting to confirm U.S. Supreme Court Judge Brett Kavanaugh. Now, those votes really made the GOP happy, but they really fired up Democrats, and a progressive group raised over $3.7 million to fund whoever her Democratic opponent might be in 2020 if, in fact, she runs. But the GOP also has a long memory, and Collins has upset the Republican base before on various votes for breaking line with the GOP. And this is especially the story with Collins ever since Trump was elected. She didn't approve of him. She didn't endorse him. She didn't vote for him. And his ascension to the White House really drove the two parties farther apart. And that's left Collins, who has built her career as a centrist, with very little room to maneuver on hot button issues like taxes, health care, judges, and in this case, the wall.
Interesting, Steve. Thanks for breaking that down for us.
You're welcome.
Steve Missler is our senior political correspondent, and you can read the full story online at mainpublic.org.